You know, sometimes I wonder how much I should let people see what's going on the inside. Maybe you have things going on in your life, or there's something that's happened in your past, and you've wondered, you know, should I let a little of that out? Would it be good to let people know what I'm really going through? You know, you can be dying to let it out, and you don't because you're afraid if you do, you might regret it. Now, we're in this series called Secrets, and we're going to be talking about where's the balance between, you know, sort of offloading some of the things that are on the inside. Because a lot of times we keep it in the dark because we don't want anybody to know things. And here's kind of like a little proverb: whatever you keep in the dark lives in the dark. But look at the big idea during this series. You can write in your note: what lives in the dark dies in the light. There's a problem when I hide things and I keep everything sort of hidden from everybody, secrets, is it becomes a lifestyle. And that's how I live everywhere I go. And whatever's in the dark, it just stays alive. I might be able to ignore it. I don't think it's there, but it's actually alive still. And it's coming for me. There's this kind of a process, you know, whatever is in the dark will stay alive, but what comes into the light will die. The Bible talks about it. It's in your notes. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressure never let up. All the juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly the pressure was gone, and my guilt dissolved, my sin disappeared. The process. Now I understand the problem, you know, why we don't. Because if I let it out, if I tell people what's going on, if I do, here's some of the things that happen. If I don't, I'll get in trouble. So if I don't keep it hidden, I'll get in some sort of trouble. You know, the different things that I've done wrong, if that gets out and other people see it. And we're all raised on this sentence, you know, if you make bad choices, you've got to pay the consequences. And nobody wants to pay the consequences, so I'm going to keep it a secret. I'm going to keep it hidden. I don't want to get in trouble. If I don't keep it hidden, I'll get in trouble. Or here's the other one, because there's a lot of wrongs that I have done, but I relate to this one. If you're like me, maybe you do too. There's been plenty of wrongs that have been done to me. And I keep those in the dark and hidden too, because I don't want to cause a lot of trouble. I don't want to blow up the family. I don't want to get anybody in trouble at work. I don't want to get my friends all angry at each other. I don't want to go through all the drama that's going to happen if I bring the secrets out in the family. I don't want to cause trouble. Maybe you relate. There's something you're like, that was wrong that happened to me, but I've been hiding it all these years because I don't want to go through a bunch of trouble with everyone. If I don't hide it, I'll be embarrassed. Write that in your notes. This is if you've been through something in your life where you're younger and you're a little sensitive to embarrassment like I am. When I was a kid, my family went through a hard time, so I qualified for free lunches. And it was awesome. I got a free lunch every single day until somehow it leaked out. And some kids found out about it, and I got teased. And I was embarrassed that people knew that my family was going through hard times. So the next year, when it came time for free lunches, I decided not to accept it. And instead, I took a job as a dishwasher in the cafeteria. Because if you were a dishwasher, the way they paid you was with a free lunch. So every day I went early and I got into the kitchen, I washed everybody's dishes, and I missed recess day after day after day. I didn't get to go to any recesses. I stayed and washed everybody's dishes. Because I was way too embarrassed for people to know that my family was going through hard times. There's very creative ways that we can hide things, keep them in the dark. So if I don't do it, I might be embarrassed. Here's another one right in your notes. I'll be harshly judged. If I don't keep it in the dark, I'll be harshly judged. And you know, some people will say, well, don't judge me, or I don't want to be judged. And I don't know if that's true, because it's fine with me if you judge me, as long as you judge me in a way I want to be judged and I come out looking good. I don't mind being judged. I mean, as long as you, all contests and games and, you know, everybody wants the trophy and the prize. We don't mind being judged as long as we win or we look good or everybody likes us. It's the harsh judgments we don't want. And there's different things that happen in our lives. There's secrets. There's things that we keep hidden because we're just so sure if those come out, I'll be harshly judged. And here's the last one. Write it in your notes. If I don't keep it hidden, I'll have to relive the pain. So I've been a marriage and family counselor almost 35 years, and so I've heard my share of secrets. And I remember a woman coming to me one time and sharing with me some things that had happened in her family. And when she was done, she told me, "You're the first person I've ever told." She was in her early 30s. She'd been carrying it over 25 years. And I asked her, I said, "Why do you think you kept that in the dark so long? Why? How come you never said anything to anybody?" And she said, "Oh, the memories were too painful. It was way too painful to go through that. I didn't want to relive that." She said, "Every time I really wanted to tell people, whenever I thought about saying something to someone, it was like the memory would show up and it would be so painful just to remember it. It just felt better to just keep it back in the dark." And those are the type of things, you know, if you're taking notes, just jot it. You know, if I don't, I'll get in trouble, or I'll be harshly judged, or, you know, I'll be embarrassed, or I'm going to have to relive the pain. Those are the reasons. Now, I want to show you this little graph that I have because, you know, when you think about all the different types of secrets that we keep, they kind of range from silly to almost sinful. So this graph's going to come up, and just jot it in your notes, see what kind of artist you are. I mean, all the secrets that are back in the dark, I mean, there's the ones that are almost kind of silly. It's like, I don't know that those even matter to anybody. And then there's this kind of range that gets all the way to where the ones that we'd even say, those are serious, those are sinful. Those are all the things that are in the dark. Those are the secrets. There's a website that you can go to, and you can post your secrets on this website. So if you don't have anybody to talk to, you can put your secrets there. And I went there, and I looked at some of them this week. It's a great example on this website of this graph. Let me show you some of the ones that came up on this website. Here's the first one. It says, "I still spend all of my lunch money on candy just like I did when I was a kid, except for now I'm 42. I understand the problem." Now look at the next one. This is the next one on here. "I'm 43 and I can't parallel park." You can decide if that was a man or a woman that said that. Okay, so here's the next one. This one's pretty good. I like this one. "I was going too fast down a hill on my bike and I destroyed the door on the side panel of an SUV. No one saw me, so I just drove away." Then they have a little picture of their bike crashing into it. Okay, here's the next one that was on the website. "People think I stopped lying, but I've just gotten better at it." So now it's getting not so silly, it's a little bit more serious. And then this one right here, this one was almost heartbreaking, this last one. "Celebrating the last year you abused me." They don't make cards like that. And someone put it on the website. And it, you know, that's way over on the sinful side. And we all keep them back there. There's the ones that are silly. You almost wonder, how come I can't tell people about that? But it ranges all the way to the ones that it's really clear why we keep those in the dark. Now, what we're talking about in this series is there's a better way to live. That you can bring stuff out into the light that was in the dark, because when it comes into the light, that's where it dies. And we're going to look at a famous person in history and also in the Bible, just a little sliver of their story today, the mighty King David. And we're going to look at how he was the type of person that kept a lot of things in the dark. He had some family issues. He had learned to keep secrets, kept a lot of things in the dark. And we're going to look at it from the standpoint, if we were to do the opposite of what he did, what could we have? He kept it in the dark, but if we bring it in the light. So here's the first one, write in your notes. We clarify our values. And I wanted to ask you this question. Are you clear what your values are? I value my wife achieving her dreams. I'm clear on that one. I value being close to my children. I value my children, my sons and my daughters, knowing that in good times and bad, ups and downs, I will always have their back. I value generosity. Here's how my values work. I value being prepared for these talks. So this last week, I really wanted to go see the new Mission Impossible movie. It was calling my name. And I wanted to go see it really bad, you know, and it's like I had the night all planned out. I'm going to go see Mission Impossible. And then when the night came, I realized all my preparation wasn't done. I wasn't prepared for the talk. And so a choice had to be made based on my values. And I almost went to the movies, but I didn't, because I value being prepared. So I stayed home and kept working. And that's how values work. See, values are the thing that I'm clear on, and regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I want, I align with those. Are you clear? Can you name three or four values really quickly for someone? Someone say, what's your values? Could you name three or four of them super, super clear, quickly? See, when you live in the light, here's the great thing, and you just think this through. When you live in the light and you get a chance to see your life, you can always tell if it's aligning with your values. But if you keep your values over in the dark, or they get murky, or they live over in the gray area, or they get fuzzy, the next thing you know, whatever feels good, whatever I think in the moment, whatever I want, because I can't even see my values. Light means I can see them and they're clear and I can decide, am I aligned with my values? Tom Cruise will have to wait. Till today, I hope. Values. And David has that all mixed up. Let's read about his life here. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. Circle in the spring at the time when the kings go out to war. That's the value of a king. I'm leading the troops. I'm leading the charge. I'm protecting the nation. I'm taking everything forward. That's the value of a king. That's where he should have been. But instead, he's sleeping in and prowling around. Somehow he got way off track. You know, he comes from an interesting family that had a bad mark on it. David comes from a very Jewish family that keeps all the Jewish practices. They keep all the Jewish religion. And yet they have this one bad mark on their family. In the Jewish religion, and this is going to almost seem silly to us, but in the Jewish religion back in those days, way before Jesus, the way they practiced their Jewish faith is a Jewish man would only marry a Jewish woman. That's the way they lived. That's the way it was. And David's grandpa married a non-Jewish woman that did not practice the Jewish religion. And I know for us, that seems like over here on the silly side, that is so silly. Who'd get upset about? But in their day, that was sinful. That was a huge thing. It was a big bad mark on his family. So he comes from a family that learns how to not deal with their issues. They keep things over in the dark. They try to explain it away. They don't want to see what people would think if they knew the real truth, so they hide things. And that's where David learned to sort of live his life. He's all mixed up when it comes to his values. See, David has a real issue. He has a real problem in life when it comes to women. He had it when he was single, and he has it when he's married. He doesn't keep nor set safe boundaries. And he has it way back in the dark. He never gets any help with it his entire life. Nobody ever knows about it. He just sort of keeps it over in the shadows and explains it away. He acted the same way as a married man as he did when he was a single man. Whenever I speak to a college group or talk to high school kids, I tell them that, you know, when I was single, I thought when I got married, I would sort of magically be different. But I wasn't. Do you know the best way to be a faithful husband someday if you're single? Be a faithful man now. If you want to be a great wife someday if you're single, be a great woman now. Because who you are as a single person is who you'll be as a married person. David has a huge struggle when it comes to his relationship with women, and he keeps the whole thing hidden. Let's keep reading. Number two, we strengthen our integrity, the story goes on. The man said, she's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So I have a little clue now, she's a married woman. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now, the reason the Bible puts these other people's names in there is to give us a clue. David knows this family. He knows Uriah, and he knows Uriah's father. He's fairly close to these people. He socialized with them. He knows who they are. And so the Bible's trying to tell us, hey, this just didn't catch him by surprise, or he saw some girl over there. He knows what's happening here. And the Bible says that he asked for her, she came, and he slept with her. And it's interesting in the Bible because it doesn't give us a lot of backdrop. Did Bathsheba want to do that or not want to do that? You know, nobody really knows. But here's one thing we do know. There is a huge power differential between a king and a soldier's wife. I mean, he puts her in a terrible situation, regardless if the sparks were flying. He should have never been in that spot. He should have never put her in that spot. Now, some people might read this and say, well, David's in a place where he just can't handle the temptation. He got into some place where he can't handle the temptation. He's in a place where he's not able to overcome the temptation, to which I would say he should have never been in that place in the first place. A couple of months ago, I went and saw Sinbad the comic. And man, he is so funny. I mean, we laughed all night at him. Everybody in the whole room laughed. I mean, Sinbad has still got it. I mean, he's just cracking us all up all night long, you know, Sinbad. I know I'm aging myself, but there was young people there too. So, but Sinbad was super, super funny. But right in the middle of all of his jokes that he was telling, I missed the start of it, but he was telling some joke about a politician or someone famous that had been caught having an affair with some woman, and he was making fun of it, and he was joking about it, and people were laughing and laughing. And all of a sudden, Sinbad says, oh, you laugh. Have you seen a picture of the girl? And I have never seen a picture of the girl, but he was trying to make it up like she must have been like some knockout girl. Have you seen a picture of the girl? You're laughing now, but you're laughing at him. You've seen a picture of the girl. And he says, there's not a man in this room that could have said no to that girl. There's not a man in this room. And I remember thinking, right in the middle of it, like I wanted to raise my hand and said, Sinbad, I'd have never been in that room. Of course, there's not a man in this room that could overcome that temptation. That's not integrity. Integrity is never putting you in the place where you shouldn't be to have to even try. That's what David lacks. He's kept everything in the dark so long. Here's what integrity is. Integrity is, I know where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to do. And if I'm there, I won't be where I'm not supposed to be doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. David doesn't have that skill. He can kill a giant. And he writes great songs. And the Bible says he had a heart just like God's. But he had a huge issue. And it's all in the dark. He never gets any help with it. And he's constantly ending up in situations that he can't handle. This is what integrity is, and this is how it gets stronger, and this is why it's so important to live in the light. Because when I live in the light, I can see where I am. And I can decide, is this where I'm supposed to be? And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And I can see things coming towards me and go, I'm not going over there. Sinbad said, not a man in this room could do. And I was just like wanting to say, well, of course not. You're right. No man in this room could. See, the smart thing is don't put yourself in a situation where you have to try. But if you live in the dark, you can end up there and not even know how you got there. Integrity is over and over again, I get stronger and stronger at being where I'm supposed to be. Number three, here comes David at us. Last thing, we find out the truth. Listen to this. Later, Bathsheba became pregnant. She sent word to him saying, I am pregnant. Here's the one thing about the truth. And if you're like me, you've been through this a number of times. Sometimes you learn the truth the hard way. Can you imagine when he got that note? I'm pregnant. I'm not going to be able to keep it hidden. Now there's another person involved. Can you imagine how this would ripple through the king's palace, his family, his children? Can you imagine what the nation would think? I'm pregnant. When you keep things in the dark, I always like to think they're like zombies living back there. They're coming for you. They're coming out of that dark. And when they do, and when they come for me, I will learn the truth the hard way. And he sure does. Now there's this there's a Lutheran pastor that I caught this little clip on. I wanted you to see. She has this really cool take on what it means to face the truth and live in the truth. And I wanted you to check it out. So check out this video.
I'm pretty sure we all carry secrets. As the old chain smoking guy in my 12-step program says, you're only as sick as your secrets, kid. We all hide things for ourselves, like the times we have to erase our browser history, or the time we lied about ourselves to get a job, or the times we flirt online with people who aren't our spouses. It's a common thing people do. We make lame excuses to get out of commitments, or we blame other people for the fact that we can't show up. The list kind of goes on, but often, we fool ourselves with these excuses, but there are times when the truth won't let us go. I mean, sure, I can avoid other people's scrutiny by telling my bullshit story over and over to anyone who will listen, but I know the truth. The last thing I want is for any light to be cast on the darkness I've spent so much energy curating and protecting and actually enjoying. There's a popular misconception that religion, Christianity specifically, is about knowing the difference between good and evil so we can choose the good. But being good has never set me free the way truth has. I have to think about all the times I've substituted being good or maybe just appearing to be good for truth. When someone like me who will go to superhero lengths to avoid the truth runs out of options, when I'm found out or too exhausted to pretend anymore, it feels like the truth might crush me. And that's right. The truth does crush me, but the instant it crushes me, it somehow puts me back together into something more real.
Yeah, Jesus had a way that he said it, and it's here in the Bible. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." David was at a disadvantage, and I understand the problem. He came from a family that didn't deal with their issues. They had a bad mark on their family, and they didn't know how to navigate it. It just felt normal to hide it. It felt like they would pay less of a price if they kept it in the dark. And I understand that. You don't get set up in your family to be truthful or to deal with your issues. And he was never able to get it out into the light. And can you imagine if David could have just brought the whole thing out to somebody? If he could have just gone to somebody and just said, "Hey, you know, I've got a real issue when it comes to flirting, and I've got lust issues, and I'm attracted to women that I shouldn't be even in the same room with." But he never did. Can you imagine what it would have been like if he did? I mean, what would have happened if a leader of his magnitude would have been able to admit he had a weakness? You know, how would things have been different in his family if he would have been the first one to step out and say, "Hey, there's hope in the light. There's freedom in the truth." Can you imagine what it would have been like for the average, everyday person in his nation if they'd have thought, "Well, if the king can do it, maybe there's hope for me." See, it makes a difference. We have these little in your cup holder, you should have one of these right here. It's a little bracelet. Just grab it for a second. I want to explain it to you and give you an invitation. During this series, we're inviting everybody, if they want to wear this during the month of August. And it has some letters on it, L-O-W-O. And this is what it stands for, Lights On, Windows Open. And it's just an invitation. You can wear it if you want to or not. It's a little hospital-type bracelet. And what it is actually is a reminder. Because it's easy to lose track of it. Habits kick in. Family systems kick in. And I forget how I'm trying and what I'm committed to living. Because remember now, if I don't hide it, I might get in trouble. If I don't hide it, I might get embarrassed. If I don't hide it, I might be judged harshly. If I don't hide it, I may have to remember something that's very painful. It's so normal to hide it. So I thought, well, we'll put these little bracelets together, lights on, windows open. Lights on just means, okay, everything's out in the open, it can be seen. Windows open mean people can look inside and see me. I don't recommend it without a savior. It's just too hard. Here's the bottom line, and write in your notes, growth and healing happens in the light. And please understand, if you decide to do this and you put it on, you said, I'm going to do this for a month and see what it's like, here's the hope with the Savior. The Bible says, Jesus talked to the people again and he said, I am the light of the world. You're not alone in the light. You're not alone in the darkness. You're definitely not alone in the light. Whoever follows me will never live in darkness. They will have the light that gives life.